On Sunday, we enter the last week of Pope Benedict XVI's pontificate. At noon Rome time, he will greet pilgrims to St. Peter's for the last time from the window of the Apostolic Palace to pray the Angelus with them. Rome City Council has strengthened bus and train lines to meet the demand of the tens of thousands expected to pour into St. Peter's Square for the noon prayer and benediction. But ahead of this great Sunday gathering, English-language pilgrims are also being invited to celebrate Mass together, a bare 150 meters from St. Peter's Square, in one of the oldest pilgrim churches in Rome, Santo Spirito in Sassia. It's an initiative of the Pontifical Council for the New Evangelization for the Year of Faith. We spoke with Father Eugene Silva, a New Jersey native, in the Council's English-language official.
Recognizing the fact that there's so many English-speaking pilgrims coming to the Tomb of Peter during the Year of Faith, and recognizing the fact that the Holy Spirit is going to be moving people and turning their hearts and bringing them into a deeper union with Jesus Christ, we wanted to provide them the opportunity to attend Mass in their native language. So the Church of Santo Spirito in Sassia, which is on Borgo Santo Spirito, which is literally two blocks from St. Peter's. If you're facing St. Peter's, it's the street parallel on the left. And every Sunday at 10 o'clock, we celebrate Mass in English. And it's kind of a joint effort. It's been just tremendous, the growth that we've had in just a few months. I work with the sisters who run the U.S. Pilgrim Office to the Holy See. And we've got a lot of college students that help us with the music and the greeting. And we want people to experience an evangelizing liturgy so that when they come to Rome, to the Tomb of Peter, they're able to enter into the celebration of the Eucharist in the language that is most familiar to them. So it's just been a tremendous just grace. And the number of people that are attending from all over the English-speaking world, and not just the English-speaking world. We get people from the Netherlands. We had a group from the Netherlands, Germany, Norway, that have found the liturgy and have joined us.
Now, two things should really be pointed out about this particular church. First of all, it's probably known to most pilgrims as Divine Mercy
Divine
Church.
Mercy,
why
sure.
is that?
Well, this was the church that was dedicated to become the shrine for Divine Mercy here in Rome by Blessed John Paul II. And the history of the church is just fascinating because it's been welcoming pilgrims to Rome since the 8th century. Sassia means Saxony in Latin. And so we now are just continuing the tradition that was started so many centuries ago by welcoming pilgrims to this beautiful church, which really was built as a chapel to the Hospital of Santo Spirito. And right now, the parish and the shrine itself is alive. There's so many different programs going on and so many pilgrims, especially from Eastern Europe and Poland, that visit the church. And Monsignor Giuseppe Bart, the rector, was so gracious in welcoming the English-speaking community to his parish. And it's just a beautiful, alive experience on Sunday mornings because we have the English-speaking Mass at 10 and then the Italian Mass at 11. And it's so wonderful to see the two languages and the two groups of people coming together and just introducing themselves and meeting. So it's beautiful. And then what we do after the Mass at 10 o'clock is we invite everyone to stand outside and to introduce themselves to each other and to talk. And it's just so beautiful seeing people introduce themselves to each other and recognizing the fact that as Catholics, we're never alone, even when we're not in our home countries. And then what we do is we invite them to go over the Angelus at 12 noon.
Exactly.
So it just works perfectly. So, for example, this Sunday was very emotional for us, the first Sunday after Pope Benedict's announcement. So after the liturgy, speaking to a lot of people outside, we had announced, we'd love to invite everybody to come with us to the Angelus together.
Which is literally only 5 minutes down the road.
Not even 5 minutes. And it was wonderful. We must have had 30 students from the University of St. Thomas in Minneapolis. And they were with a group of the sisters and a group from the Netherlands. And just to have everybody go together to hear the beautiful wisdom of our Holy Father. So it's just a wonderful experience.
You spoke of the fact that it's very important moment in the life of the church at the moment. We know that the Holy Father has announced that he is resigning from the Petrian ministry on the 28th of February, but he was the Pope that launched the Year of Faith. He was also the Pope that opened up this council for the new evangelization, and you were literally plucked from your work in America and brought over here last June as the English-speaking official to this council. Can you perhaps explain to our listeners what the Council for the New Evangelization is, what it does?
Mm-hmm. Our Council for New Evangelization is really been given by Pope Benedict the mantra to assist the churches that were traditionally, the areas of the world that were traditionally Christian and Catholic, but yet because of secularism and relativism have in a certain way maybe struggled some to be a resource for those churches, especially for those Episcopal conferences, that we might be able to assist them in implementing the church's essential mission of the new evangelization, which really is about re-energizing the church again, not changing the message, because of course the message of Jesus Christ, the kerygma, is always the same, but as Blessed John Paul II had said, how with new order, new energy, new methods, how is it that we engage a culture now that is largely influenced by secularism and relativism? How do we allow them to receive the teachings of the church? And how are we able to invite them, women and men, young and old, to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Especially when so many people today think that God is not essential for life. So how do we as a church now re-strategize how we invite is really the mission of the new evangelization. We've been very blessed that right now the Pontifical Council for New Evangelization, under the leadership of Archbishop Reno Fisichella, is working to organize with many others the Year of Faith events that are taking place here in Rome.
Can you run us through those?
Oh, we have just so many incredible events that are coming up. We have events for those who have been confirmed during the Year of Faith. In fact, the Holy Father will be confirming a certain number of young people from around the world during the liturgy. We have a weekend for the movements, a weekend for the confraternities. We have a weekend for Evangelium Vitae, for the promotion of all life, which is going to be just a tremendous experience, because what's happened is while they're going to be international events taking place, there are also going to be a number of individual linguistic events taking place. So, for example, English-speaking visitors will be able to attend an educational conference in English, a rally, a witness rally in English that we've been putting together with English-speaking pro-life leadership throughout the world. So it's going to be very exciting, and that's in June. Also, we have, I mean, there are a lot of others. I'm just going to mention a few of them. We have a pilgrimage to the Tomb of Peter by seminarians and religious and those on a vocational pilgrimage journey that'll be for 4 days in July, July 4th to the 7th. And it's just going to be tremendous. We're going to be bringing these young people who are saying yes to God's call of service in the church together from all over the world to celebrate the importance of service in the church to the new evangelization, and during this peculiar time of history to demonstrate to the world that there are so many people saying yes, and there is such hope, and there is such goodness. And so we're working to put all of that together. It's going to be absolutely tremendous. And then into the fall, we have many other events. The Feast of Corpus Christi, there's going to be a holy hour, and then the Holy Father is going to be inviting all different dioceses and people throughout the world to join in an hour of adoration before the Blessed Sacrament during the same time. So there's so many. So people should just see our Year of Faith website, annusfidei.va, and all the events are listed in great detail on how to register for them.
Now, Father Silva, I know we've already spoken about the council, about what you do, but What exactly is it? Can you perhaps go into a little bit more depth about what it is?
Sure, sure. Well, again, our council is there to promote the new evangelization, but I think also what we end up doing a lot of times is helping people to understand the very mission of the new evangelization. I can remember in 2008 in our diocese, we began building the first of its kind Catholic Center for New Evangelization. And with my bishop and with a group of wonderful people, we went about trying to get people to understand the need for a center for new evangelization. And one of the hardest things to get people to realize is that this whole mission of the new evangelization is not an indictment on the missionary efforts and all of the evangelizing works that have gone before it, but is really simply the church's response to its very recognition that it lives right now and exists right now in the most peculiar moment of history. I mean, we have this climate, these cultures engulfed with secularization, relativism, materialism, fundamentalism, individualism. So the new evangelization is not an indictment. It's a recognition of the culture in which we live. And in fact, all the way back in 2000, then Cardinal Ratzinger, he gave a beautiful address to catechists and religious educators for the real purpose of reminding everyone that the church has always and has never paused evangelizing. And he talks about the different movements in the evangelization efforts that have been with the church since its beginning. He talks about the daily celebration of the Eucharistic mystery, the administration of the sacraments, the proclamation of the living word of God. And he talks about the church's commitment to justice and to charity. And he calls this the permanent evangelization of the church. And he spoke so beautifully how it's continued always to bear such beautiful fruit. And I guess it's for the church now and for our council to help women and men to understand that that the new evangelization is in continuity with the permanent evangelization, and that we're called to be new evangelizers, new evangelists. And we have to recognize that it's the same gospel. It's never changed. It will never change, but we have to proclaim it with a new enthusiasm, an enthusiasm that could break through the apathy that has really frozen so many hearts. And we need to proclaim the gospel with a precise language that can be heard by ears which have been tuned to the pitch of secularism and relativism. And we need to proclaim this gospel, this unchanging truth, with new methods that are able to communicate this message, which is unchangeable. And I think even just in our center, one of the ways we did it, we started this scripture in the 12-step program. All these people in recovery. And what we did was we offered them a place to come where we could then take the 12 steps with scripture and touch them where they're at. And this is a new method for the new evangelizing. And it's this new evangelization. It's this urgent mission to awaken in everyone in this peculiar moment of history, our baptismal calling to be bearers of Christ and that light and that love. But for this awakening to occur and for Catholics today to be able to proclaim Christ to those who don't think God is necessary, and for those who only think that science and technology are the only things that we can hold on to, the president of our council, Archbishop Reno Fisichella, had made such a powerful statement in his recent article, which was explaining really the transfer of competency of catechesis, and really was a beautiful reflection on the promulgation of the motu proprio, Fides Per Doctrinam.
We just have to clarify, perhaps, for our listeners who don't know, what do you mean by
great.
The transfer?
Ah, okay, great, great, great. So what the Holy Father had done is each of the curia offices and dicasteries are responsible for particular areas. So the Holy Father, in the motu proprio, had transferred competencies. So he had transferred particular competency of seminaries from the Congregation for Catholic Education to the Congregation for Clergy, and then transfer the competency of catechesis in the church from the Congregation of Clergy to the Pontifical Council for New Evangelization. So the Archbishop, our president, was explaining this transfer and saying, this is not a formality. This is not just a paper transfer, but this is such an exciting opportunity for the Archbishop. I want to quote him because it was so beautiful. There needs to be a serious and systemic Christian formation which unifies faith in everyday life. It's only in this unity that it's possible to state the reasons for faith and its contents. He said that with the characteristic foresight, Pope Benedict announced the transfer of competency over catechesis from the Congregation for Clergy to Pontifical Council for New Evangelization. And this transfer, this movement, creates a more organic relationship between catechesis and the new evangelization and offers the project of the new evangelization a highly qualified instrument with which to pursue its direction. This transfer emphasizes that the knowledge of the faith is fundamental and necessary for the whole process of new evangelization. And so we are so excited about this transfer because it's so necessary. I had done a lot of ministry with young adults. And how do we help the young adults understand the beautiful contents of the faith? Because it's from within the passion for those contents through an ability to articulate them that they can only then be evangelists. And they want to know the reasons to believe.
Doesn't this also underline the fact that we're all called to be catechists?
We are all beautiful.
Taking it really from clergy and giving it to a council that has such a global vision of the church, not just clergy, religious, but also lay people.
Exactly, because remember, the mission, the new evangelization, everyone, bishops, priests, deacons, the religious, the lay faithful, it's a constant reminder that we're all to be bearers of that light and that truth, and we're all to be able to have the articulation to be able to say, this is why we believe this and this is what we believe. And unfortunately, so often the only supposed knowledge that people have of the faith is what they hear through the media. No offense to the media, but we need to be more precise with our language because it's the truths of our faith which set us free. And so this catechesis, and this goes back to the Synod. It was so beautiful in the Synod. So many of the interventions, in fact, Cardinal Wuerl's opening speech, so much of it had to do with the catechism, the importance of the catechism in the new evangelization and in the contents of the faith and the transfer of the contents, transmission of the contents of the faith as essential as a part of the new evangelization. So we are so excited about this as we move ahead in our Pontifical Council.
Throughout the Year of Faith.
Throughout the Year of Faith and beyond.
And you'll be coming back in to speak to us as the Year of Faith progresses.
I would love to. That'd be great.
The great appointments we have in store for us and for those coming to Rome and even those who will be listening from home.
Great. And these Year of Faith events are going to be also now just such a wonderful opportunity for people to come and to experience the new Holy Father.
Exactly.
And so as the Church continues to move along in its life.
Father Silva, thank you very much for coming in to speak to us
today. Thank you very much for having me.
You're listening to Vatican Radio.